Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to The Other Connor Podcast, a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Here's your host, Connor Hallett.
Hello, Oilers fans. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. Before we get going, got to thank our sponsor, DraftKings. The second round is in full swing, and the action increases from game to game. This is where contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part? It's free to play. DraftKings free to play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think will happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN. For a limited time only at DraftKings, eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to the Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Connor Halley. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Connor Halley if you feel like it. Before we get to the show today, I want to pass along our best wishes to Dave Jamieson of TSN 1260, who unfortunately was diagnosed with cancer over this past weekend. JMO, simply one of the best, spent time with the Edmonton Elks organization for years. Joined us on TSN 1260, I want to say about 5 years ago, could be longer than that. Of course, he hosts the Dave Jamieson Show from noon to 2. We know you're going to fight this, JMO. I look forward to the celebration party when you beat it, because I know you are, and I just want to pass along our thoughts and prayers to JMO and your family. Just an absolute fixture in the Edmonton sports scene. You're going to beat this, and best of luck with it going forward. Today on the show, we are going to be joined by Jeffrey Ulrich of DraftKings Nation. You can give him a follow on Twitter as well, at the Fantasy Grind. And just a little teaser, because we are going to be talking about DraftKings, and you know, obviously, guys you should look out for if you want to win some money. But before we got into our conversation, he was saying, Matthew Barzal, that's the guy you want to have. Matthew Barzal, when I last checked, and keep in mind, I am taping this on Monday night, goal and an assist. So you want to win some money, make sure you keep it locked on here. We'll get to Jeffrey Ulrich in a few moments, talk about who you should look to be picking up on DraftKings and hopefully win some money, because, you know, even though the Oilers are out, the playoffs continue, and you can still collect that cash with DraftKings. So hang around here. We'll get to Jeffrey Ulrich in a couple minutes here. But we're going to start the show off today with Hernan Salas. He, of course, one half of the Don Wheaton on White postgame show on TSN 1260. You can get him on the Locked On Oilers podcast network. Also, two guys and a goalie. And make sure to give him a follow on Twitter, at Hernan the Man. Hernan, thanks so much for doing this today, my friend. How are you doing?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, I can't complain. I mean, it's kind of boring without the Oilers to talk about. We're, two weeks since it officially happened, and now we just, you know, talk about the offseason and what could be. But before we get to the Oilers, what have you made of the NHL playoffs outside of our city? Have you enjoyed it? Any other series standing out to you?
They're always fun. I mean, Colorado-Vegas has been outstanding. Just even at when they're up 2-0 for Vegas to fight back. It's great for us who are not fans of those teams, but we just get to watch them battle it out. So hoping that one goes 7. I thought Carolina would be a lot closer to Tampa Bay than they've showed. They're down 3-1. Tampa's going to wrap that one up. That one's been fun, though. There's some talented guys on the teams. And I know me and I think Maddie were talking about it the other day and just how, yeah, I think their Boston one's not a series many are talking about, but it's fantastic to watch. It's really good hockey. And then, I mean, the one that's got everybody a little surprised, Montreal, Winnipeg. But, yeah, that's why you play the game. Anything can happen, so we'll see what happens here going forward. But I always enjoy the NHL playoffs. There's some good hockey, great plays, and I especially love it when they go to OT.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the first two rounds just because you kind of get, like, multiple games every day. There's just any time almost you turn a game on, and you're obviously going to get good hockey. You mentioned the Islanders, and I've got that one on behind me as we're taping this Monday night, 6:21 local time here in the city. And Jordan Eberle just scored another goal. a guy who, in the 2016-2017 Oilers little run there in 13 games, had 2 assists, and that's it. I think a lot of people might credit that playoff run to one of the reasons he's no longer with the team. They needed playoff performers. This year, he's got 3 goals. Last year in the bubble, in 22 games played, he had 5 goals, 14 points. The year before, in 8 games, he had 4 goals. Did we get rid of that guy too early?
Well, man, it's hard to say now, but, I mean, you remember he was coming off a pretty good year. The Oilers went to the second round of the playoffs, went to Game 7, one went away from going to the conference final, and then, you know, him and Nuge, I think it was him, Nuge, and Lucic, the line. They didn't really produce in the playoffs. I'm not saying they played bad, but they didn't produce. I don't think they scored, and then it was like, let's get rid of them. And then I know after that there were some rough years here, and everybody was like, we need a 20-goal guy to play with Connor and on it. We're like, well, the Oilers traded him, so and we got nothing. I mean, we got Ryan Strome. In fairness, Ryan Strome was probably not used right here in Edmonton. He was in the bottom 6, kind of seeing the success he had there with the Rangers when he left. So, yeah, maybe there was something there. The Oilers just didn't use him correctly. But, yeah, I mean, I was always an Eberle guy. He re-signed for, what, 5-something. He's a good top 6 winger. I mean, he's never going to be a guy that dominates, never going to be a guy that kind of drives his own line, but he's one hell of a secondary guy, and he can score, and that's the hardest thing to do in the NHL. So, I mean, you could say, yeah, they got rid of him too quick, but it's just crazy to think, though, eh? Like, Hall gone, Eberle gone, and then Nuge might be gone. That's just kind of like the that's like the, you know, the 3 guys that were brought here like years ago to turn this thing around, they were never able to until they got other pieces, but just crazy to think.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to lie. After that playoff run, I was pretty critical of the guy, and it was not because, like, you know, I thought that he's never going to put up points in the playoffs. It was a bad run, but it was just kind of like the guy didn't do a whole lot outside of scoring goals. So when you're not scoring goals, You're not really that effective. Regular season, he's a perennial 20-goal scorer when he plays, you know, north of 80 games. But I always just thought you need someone who adds a little bit more. Now it's kind of funny you mention it, like, geez, they probably could have taken his depth scoring this year and even going into the playoffs. But, geez, no one can predict the future. That's why those things tend to happen.
Yeah.
Hernan, now just kind of talking about needs and depth scoring. Going into this offseason, obviously, we're going to be talking about it quite a bit. But where do you think Ken Holland needs to look when it comes to free agency? I mean, there's going to be obviously the conversation about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and obviously Adam Larson. I think Adam Larson pretty much a lock to stay with the Edmonton Oilers. But where do you look when it comes to free agency and where there's probably some places of need?
Oh, man, yeah, it's where do you start, right? I think you need a winger for that top 6, whether it's with McDavid or Dreisaitl, or if you want to play them together to play on that second line. You need someone because Cahoon, he was okay this year. Ennis was okay when he got a look. He just never really had someone there to step up, right? And it was unfortunate. But, yeah, you definitely need an upgrade at left wing for sure. At third line center, I mean, they brought in Kyle Turris. Last year, I think most of us were like, yeah, that's a good deal. There's a guy that can find his game. And you know, it was it's only a 2-year deal and it's only for over $1 million, but that didn't work out. And I don't think he can come back with McLeod, Kyra, and Haas again out of your centers in that bottom six. So I think they'll be looking there as well. Defensively, I think they're set. I mean, I can't really see them picking anyone up. That's a big name for the defense. They got their guys. Clefbaum status is still up in the air, so we'll wait and see on that. But they got some young guys that are ready to make a move here. And then if you bring back Larson, I think defensively they're good. And where it gets interesting for me, Connor, is goaltending. I know Kenny Holland said in the presser that he wants to bring Mike Smith back. And listen, I'm okay with that, but I don't think he'd go into the season with Mike Smith and Nico Koskinen again. I think you're playing with a little bit of fire there. If you're bringing those guys back for a third year and to expect Mike Smith to have another phenomenal season like he did this one, I think it's just maybe we're asking too much. So, I mean, easier said than done. Maybe they go for that short 1-year deal again and just until they can find their number one goaltender. But I know the names being tossed out there, Zach Hyman, Blake Coleman, two players I really like and I think they would impact this team. I mean, Coleman's probably not going to cost you too much. Hyman's probably going to get a significant raise, but he's a good quality player who can play in the top six. I mean, he's a top six guy in Toronto. And then I just keep looking at the goaltending. I don't know where you go, right, Connor? Like, can you trade for a guy out of Columbus? Can you pick up, I don't know. I know there's names like Darcy Kuemper out there. And I'm not saying those are the guys I would go for, but there's something definitely missing between the pipes that I think the Oilers eventually have to get their number one goaltender. Because, Connor, look at the teams in the playoffs right now. They all got their number one guy, right? And it's not just a one-hit wonder like, whoa, he's just having a good year. Like Hellebuck, Price, you're looking at Grubauer, who's up for the Vezina. You're looking at Fleury. Like, I think the Oilers, if they really want to become contenders in the next few years, they got to lock down that spot. So it's hard, Connor, to say who they're going to go after and what they're going to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting summer. I keep calling it the summer of Holland. And I'm kind of like, he can't go crazy either. Like, he's got to look at the guys that are coming off the books next year. Like, you got to get Darnell done. You got to get Jesse Puljujarvi done. And I know you got to improve your team, but you can't just go crazy and spend like crazy. So I know I said a few names that I know they've been talked about through, you know, the radios, stations, and you've seen it on Twitter through Edmonton media. But, yeah, we'll wait and see. But if they can get Hyland or Coleman, I think that's a good start.
Yeah, and I mean, like you say, you can't just be throwing money around because you do have to take care of your own down the road here.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, the selling point is for a potential guy like Zach Hyman. Like, hey, you know, you could come play with Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid. Now, granted, he's got some superstars in Toronto if, you know, he feels loyal there and wants to stick around. But, I mean, that's got to be a selling point for Ken Holland, trying to wave those two around and say, like, you can come here and play with them. Look what happened for Tyson Barrie. It was a 1-year deal. He's probably going to capitalize in free agency. Maybe you can do the same here.
Yeah, keep in mind, Connor, too, that, like, it's Toronto's in a bit of trouble, right?
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like it's going to be crazy and they can just sign him up to whatever he wants. I think Zach Hyman's also going to get a lot of interest,
mm-hmm.
right? Just because of the kind of player he is. And so, I mean, I think Edmonton has a good opportunity. I know Blake Coleman's already 30, but again, you can sign him to short term. I mean, he's not going to cost you much. You can get him. And I'm just looking at some other names. I know our good buddy Dusty does all these mock kind of lineups on Cap Friendly, and Ryan Getzlaff's a name that's being thrown out there. I don't know if he would want to leave to come to Edmonton. There's some bigger names that are just not realistic for the Oilers, but a guy like Thomas Tatar as well, 30 mm-hmm. years old, a left winger. And a guy that, you know, you're not bringing him here to be defensive or, you know what I mean, to play the physical. Can you bring him here to score? So that's maybe a guy. I know at the inbox at Sense1260, buddy, we get a lot of trade for Sam Reinhart. I mean, 25 years old, that would be ideal, but it's going to cost you a lot. There's guys like Kyle Palmieri. So, yeah, Mike Hoffman at 31, what's he going to cost? Is he looking long-term to kind of lock down his last contract? So there's a lot of interesting names, buddy. But, yeah, I think Zach Hyman is the guy that I think the Oilers are going to go hard. But at the same time, Connor, and I'm kind of a cheapskate, I just don't think he can like, yeah, Hyman's going to get a raise, but I don't think he has to go crazy either. Like, it's got to make sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, and who knows? I mean, there might be a GM out there with just way too much money willing to overpay, and we've seen that in the past. It always comes back to haunt you. So I think for Hyman, I mean, you want to end up in a good situation, not somewhere where you go and you suck and then you get bought out and, you know, it's kind of a disgrace. So it's going to be interesting, Hernan. Now, one name you didn't mention there, and I will say we talked about it on the show today, because he's a healthy scratch, Jake DeBrusco in Boston, a guy who a couple of years ago had 27 goals, last year dropped down a bit, but, you know, still pretty good, 19 goals in 65 games, and then this year, you know, kind of hit the fan with the coaching staff out in Boston. But do you have any concerns when you bring a local guy back to Edmonton? Like, is that a concern for you at all?
Well, his name gets talked about a lot, like a lot more, Connor, because of who his dad is and who he works for and what he does, right? Like, it's, let's be honest, that's the main, like, the main reason this guy's talked about so much. Now, I mean, left winger, skilled, only 24 years old, and you got him under control for one more year, and then he's an RFA, right? So that is definitely an ideal situation for the Edmonton Oilers. And listen, I don't watch enough Boston Bruins games to know why he's kind of the odd man out and why he kind of fell out of favor there with the coaching staff. It's obviously not working, so something's got to give there. I don't know if they're too crazy on trading him, but again, Connor, like, I know we were talking free agents, so that's why he kind of split my mind. But yeah, he's a guy that, I mean, I definitely look at for sure, but what's it going to cost you? Right? Like, and then that's the thing here in Edmonton. I think sometimes the fan base is just a little unrealistic. Like, we want guys like DeBrusco, but we don't want to give up anything. Like, we keep bringing up Chris Russell and Caleb Jones and a fourth and Tyler Benson, like something like that. But listen, Jake DeBrusco, has he fell out of favor in Boston? Yeah. Did he have a good season? No. But you're paying for, you know, you're paying because he's an RFA. You're paying because he's still got a year on the contract, and you're paying because he's only 24 years old, right, Connor? So it's interesting. Like, what did you guys on your show, like, what do you think it's going to take to get to a guy like Jake DeBrusco?
Well, and the one thing that kind of, you know, first thing that jumped to my mind, like, there, the reason he's kind of fallen out of favor is, you know, the defensive lapses, and you have to factor that in. Like, yeah, the guy can score goals. He's shown in the past, hasn't quite lived up to what he has in a couple of years ago, but do you want those lapses in the defensive end and things like that? Because we've seen that with the Oilers, and, you know, you got to get away from that. But one thing that people were saying was, could you offer up maybe Caleb Jones in a draft pick? Now, you have your first rounder, but you don't have a second and third because of trades. Maybe it could be a 2022 second rounder, hypothetically. But that was kind of the way people were looking, and Caleb Jones was kind of the centerpiece there for that. Now, to me, I think Caleb Jones might just be kind of the prime candidate to go to Seattle. And if he goes away, it's not perfect, but it's not going to crush you or anything like that. So
what about this name? And I'm not saying this because of what happened or anything like that. I'm just saying because you already got Larson and you got Bouchard and you're probably looking, I don't know who else, but does Ethan Bear get it done? Because he's much more higher than Caleb Jones is when it comes to NHL. Like, this guy's a legit NHL defensive, where Caleb Jones is still kind of in and out of the lineup regularly, right? Like, does Ethan Bear get it done?
That came up. The one thing that Strati and I were a little bit concerned with is just assuming you want to keep the right-handed shots on your blue line.
Yeah.
Tyson Berry's gone, likely. So you have Ethan Bear, Evan Bouchard, and Adam Larson as your right-shot defenseman. Broberg can't fill that role. Samorikov can't fill that role. So if you want to keep it lefty-righty, then you do need to keep someone in. I like Ethan Bear. Like, I'm not going to get it twisted and say he's a top-pairing guy. He might not even be a second-pairing guy, but I think he can be a good third-pairing guy. Obviously, you know, you got to get rid of some of the errors that he made, the turnovers. But I think if you're Boston and, you know, that comes along, you know, Ethan Bear with the draft pick, I think you have to at least consider it. Like, for a guy that's not even cracking your lineup in a playoff game, I mean, where's the loyalty, I guess? So I think that might be one that works out.
Yeah, and the only reason I say Bear, like, obviously then you're obviously keeping Barry or you're bringing in another right shot, right? Like,
yeah.
I get what you're saying now. Like, and listen, I thought this guy really stepped up his game as the season wore on, and he had the one giveaway, but there's enough blame to go around for the Oilers sweep. I mean, it wasn't just him. There was a lot of bad plays there, and I like Ethan Bear. I think he's a really good one. I don't think he'll ever be a top pairing guy, but if he can play in your second, third pair, I think you're laughing. But I think Jason Brust, regardless of what's going on in Boston, he's going to cost you something. And I just don't think Caleb Jones, and I get why Caleb Jones is thrown almost in every trade. There's something there. Will he ever, you know, find his game? Kind of like we're not doubting Darnell Nurse, but we're like, can Darnell Nurse, like, you know, get to that, you know, top pairing status? And this year he took an enormous leap, but I just don't think Caleb Jones is that caliber of player. So that's the only reason I don't think that gets it done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and we'll see what happens, obviously. I think there'd be a lot of people that would be excited. One of the things Strutty talked about is that, you know, you have that added pressure being from Edmonton. You know, there might be those distractions, people asking you to come on out, go for some beers.
remember Lupo when he got traded here? And Lupo was at that time, he was a legit, like, top-end player, right? And it didn't work out here. Same thing, local guy, right? We always want these local guys, and the majority of them don't work out.
Yeah, I mean, it can be tough. And I can say, like, firsthand experience talking to my friends who, you know, were in the NHL and had the opportunity to potentially play in Edmonton, they said, you know, maybe down the road, would prefer to play elsewhere. Just so you don't have that expectations. We like Lou Paul's one, Mike Comrie. Like, we've seen it. There's just a bigger spotlight on these guys from the Edmonton area. And, I mean, DeBrusque's, his dad, obviously, could probably help him out. There'd be some experience. And DeBrusque will be 25, I think, when the season starts. So it's not like he's an 18-year-old kid. But, yeah, it's certainly worth bringing up and saying, you know, it is a factor. You know, he's still a human. Those things could come up. Hernan, you talked about goaltending a little bit there. And just looking into Mike Smith this past year, he was great. There was no signs of fatigue. But I think you do have to be realistic and say that he did only play in 36 games. So, you know, fatigue shouldn't be a factor for an NHL goaltender. Let's say it's an 82-game schedule and Mike Smith's your guy. Is there, like, a number you want to cap it at for, like, amount of starts that he plays? Or do you think it's kind of between he and the head coach and the goaltending coach discussing, you know, how his body just feels day to day?
Yeah, Mike Smith's always said, like, I like to play. Like, you know, don't worry about my fatigue and all that. And every goalie's going to say that. No one's going to be like, well, cap me at this. I guess it depends on who the other guy is, right, Connor? Like, if it's Koskinen, then I do want my kid playing a lot more. If it's Stalock, I mean, Stalock, he's not an unknown because we've seen him play in the NHL for years, but we haven't seen him play in over a year, so you're a little concerned there. He's still under contract. Let's just say for fun here, let's say they bring in a Freddie Anderson, then you can see more of a split, right? Like, it's, you guys each get 40 games and then keep them fresh, and whoever's rolling gets the playoffs, right? So I guess it depends for Mike Smith on his workload on who is going to be the other guy. And again, I Connor, I'm pretty sure you might agree with me. You can't come back with Smith and Koskinen. Koskinen's kind of lost it here with the Edmonton fans. I mean, yeah, he played good to start the season when he had to play all that hockey, but he's just a guy that you're never comfortable with between the pipes. He's always a little nervous. I think this year he let the first shot in 6 or 7 times. Just a guy that doesn't give you a lot of confidence. And again, Stalock, not an unknown, but he just hasn't played a lot of hockey, so you roll with him and Smith. So there's so many names out there for goaltending that I just don't know where to go. But I think Freddie Anderson, because he's a free agent, he's 31. He could be an option. I don't know how realistic that is, Connor, but it's going to be interesting. So do you agree that I guess it depends who's the other guy?
Yeah, 100%. Like, and I think Stalock, you know, because we saw what he did with the Minnesota Wild, there is that to fall back on, and who's to say that he can't do that again, right? Be a solid backup. I'm with you on Mikko Koskinen. I think that the time has come for the team to kind of move on from that one. Just too many slow starts. It's a killer. And when it happens, you know, once or twice, you know, I think you can kind of find a way to say, well, we'll move on from it. But when it was, like, 5 or 6 times, like, it's just far too much. And, you know, it wasn't always the first goal. Sometimes it was the second or third or shot of the game. Sorry, not first goal, but just goals that can be really deflating. And, you know, with a 39-year-old goaltender, I think a capable backup is number one concern. And looking through the list here, there's some names out there who I think could fill that role.
And think of this, like, look at, like, Koskinen's going to be, what, 33? Like, Koskinen is what he is right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, like, and it's people that will look at Mike Smith, but Mike Smith at one point was one of the top goaltenders. Do you know what I mean? He's hit that level where Koskinen has never been there, at least here in Edmonton, right? Like, Koskinen's always been this guy. Like, you know, like, you never know what the hell you're going to get. So I think it's a little bit different there, but I think Koskinen is what he is. He's just a mediocre backup.
Hernan, talking to Jason Stradwick today on the show, he threw out something about the draft. And to me, it's something that I've always thought about with the NFL that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, just with the Oilers not having, you know, their second round pick this year, he said if a team were to try to move up, say, five or six spots with the Oilers, and I'm not, I think 19th is their pick, someone told us 20. If someone was to say, like, hey, we'll give you a third-round pick and our first-round pick at 25 to move up five or six spots, if you're the Oilers, are you doing that?
Like, just moving down?
Just moving down five or six spots just to collect another draft pick and try to recoup some of the things, you know, you traded away.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because they don't got a second, a third, a fifth, so it's, yeah, it's... Yeah, and again, if you're dropping five spots and you're in that 20 range, is there really that much of a difference, Connor? Like, is the player really going to – you're not going from elite to mediocre there, right? Like,
yeah.
All these players are kind of probably going to be in that same range. So, yeah, I mean, if that's the deal and you get a third in there, sure, why not? I mean, I'd definitely do that. But how about this, Connor? Would you look at trading – the Oilers' first-round pick this year for a legit top-six forward who has term, who's coming here with a contract?
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly, Hernan, I think the Oilers, like, starting this offseason, have to be aggressive. And I think they have to find NHL bodies. And it's not looking 3 or 4 years down the road. Like, let's be honest, if you're drafting in the 20s, like, maybe you find David Pastrnak, but... more likely than not, you're getting a guy who you hope turns out, you know, in the next 3, 4, 5 years. I think they're in win-now mode. I think they have to be aggressive at the trade deadline going forward, at the drafts. The Pittsburgh Penguins in the last 8 years have used their first-round selection twice because they're always trading that away to bring in current players, right? So I think for sure, and it sucks you don't have your second or your third. The second for Athanasiou, I mean, that was a miss. We're not gonna sugarcoat that one. But the third rounder you traded with Neil and Lucic to make that swap, I think you're okay with it. The first rounder, if you're going to bring in a player who helps you immediately, 100% Hernan, I do it. And I don't know if you have any names you're thinking, but yes, I would do it.
No, I know we talked about it on the two guys, I think a week ago, where we were like, and I think everybody said, yeah, like, if you're getting a guy in his mid-20s with term that can fit in your top six, like, you're moving it because... So regardless of the guy you're picking in the first round, it's highly unlikely he's going to make an impact on your team in 2, 3 years, right, Connor?
Yeah.
No, you never know. You might, like you said, you brought up Pastrnak. Let's even go back in time. Zach Parise was drafted late in the first round. Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaf, like a lot of quality players that are later picks. But, I mean, like you said, the Oilers got to start winning now. And you heard the players say it like, hey, we believe in what we're doing here, but – we don't have 5 years to turn this around. We got to start right now. And the team's trending in the right direction in the regular season. Now I expect them to be a good regular season team. Now they got to take that next step in the playoffs. And that first round pick's not going to get you there in the next 2, 3 years. So I would definitely do it, Connor. And I don't have a name, but it's definitely has. I'd have to look at all the teams and cap friendly. But I'm sure you can find one, right? Like a lot of teams do this and like you said, the Penguins, they always go all in, and it's time for the Oilers to start going all in.
And one more thing, like I just, you know, you talk about like down the road here, the Oilers are going to start to have these players that I think are going to start to make the jump to the NHL that they have drafted in the last few years. And, you know, maybe next year it's Tyler Benson, the guy who was really good for the Condors. We're going to find out, and maybe he ends up in Seattle. That could be an option as well. But I think coming up through the pipeline, I mean, you're going to have Dmitry Samorikov, who's coming off injury this past year. Ryan McLeod obviously was one guy who we started to see a little bit more from the 2018 class. But his classmate, Evan Bouchard, another guy who's going to jump up there. I think Raphael Lavoie will be in the NHL sooner than later. Philip Broberg. Like, you're going to see these guys trickling up. Like, the Oilers draft picks are looking pretty good and looking like they'll be in the NHL within the next few years here, you don't necessarily need that first-round pick right now or even next year. Like, I think you go out and you add NHL players that you know are going to help you immediately.
And that's the thing, right, Connor? Like, I totally agree with you. Like, you got a nice pipeline of players. You're going to try to win now while you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But also, keep in mind, like, everybody keeps showing Cooper Marody or Tyler Benson. Yeah, and they were great in the AHL this year, and they're going to get a look, and they're going to, you know, they're going to get the opportunity. Hopefully this season we're going to have exhibition games and regular training camps and all that, Connor. But at the same time, I don't think Ken Holland can go on saying, well, it's Tyler Benson's spot in the top six. Yeah. No, I think he's still got to go out, be aggressive, bring in that guy. Now, if Tyler Benson comes in and surprises and knocks your socks off and he has to be on your team, then that's even better for you because you have more depth. But the Oilers can't keep hoping these young guys take that next step. You got to go build your team with guys that are NHLers. And then if a guy surprises, like Ethan Bear last year, right? Ethan Bear did last year. That's even better. That's a bonus for your team. So I'm totally with you, man. And now it's more tempered where I don't think Ken Holland needs to go and spend like crazy and do all that. But he's got to bring in some quality players here. He's got to find a way to get some cap-friendly deals as well, not overpay. I know it's easier said than done. But I'm excited, Connor. This team, for me, has got some good things going on. And Kenny Holland, he gets paid the big bucks to improve this team. So we'll see what he can do this summer. But me, as a guy that covers the team and is still a fan of the team, I'm excited for this offseason. I do trust in Ken Holland that he'll definitely improve this team.
The summer of Holland, as you're calling it. I like that.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Connor, because like, everybody was like, oh, he should have went for this year. Like, say he would have went for it this year and the Oilers still get swept, then everybody would be torching Kenny Holland, right? And I think we all said it, Connor. Like, none of us said, hey, they're going to get swept by the Jets. I don't think any of us saw that coming. But I think we all said it, and we were like, this is not their year.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, like, just going back to this last trade deadline, and I know some people kind of got on Ken for not making any aggressive moves, and I was okay with it, because I kind of thought, like, you know what, this isn't quite it. You know, maybe they win a playoff round, maybe they win two, but, geez, I don't know if they can hang in with the top-end teams, the Vegases, the Tampa, the Colorados. Like, I don't think they can hang around with those top teams, so I wasn't too worried about it, but I mean, now I think the time is to be aggressive for Ken, and it starts this summer. This is where he's got to go out there and make moves. Hernan, looking at the NHL draft, let's just say they stick at their pick, and, the way it all plays out, you know, there's no real standout. Are you someone who thinks that they just go best player available?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to, especially at that. Like, because, like you said, the Oilers have... a good pipeline, especially defensively, right? Like, it's looking good there. And offensively, yeah, you probably want a little bit more. But you brought up an interesting name in Raphael Lavoie, who came over and did some excellent things. So, I definitely think you take the best player available. Goaltending-wise, I know Ilya Konovalov came over and he signed a deal. But he's a huge wild card. We really don't know what to expect, right, until we get to see this guy. I mean, you're probably going forward, Connor. Is that fair? Like, I mean, I don't think they're going to go goaltender unless the guy knocks your socks off. But yeah, I don't think you're taking a goaltender at that spot. So it's interesting. I pretty much think they'll go winger and the best one available wherever. Because you said 19-20, right? They're around that area.
Yeah.
No. Sebastian Kosa's ranked in the first round and in that 20-30 range from the Edmonton Oil Kings. We've seen the Oilers take Oil Kings and it hasn't worked out, but Sebastian Kosa, we've seen him play here, and he's a hell of a young goaltender, and can he be an option?
See, and that's where I was going to go next, because... You know, like, I try to listen in when, you know, the scouts talk about him. I know Craig Button's a big fan. I talked to Kevin Woodley, and he's heard good things. Kevin Woodley, obviously, with InGoal Magazine.
Yeah.
Coast is someone I look at and think, you know what? Like, if he's there, and I know the Oilers, the history of drafting the Oil Kings, you know, Christian Pelsch, unfortunately, rest in peace. That one didn't work out. Travis Iwanyk, who else have they had?
Mitch Moraz.
Moraz they drafted, yeah. I know they had brought in Samuelson, didn't draft him. Yeah. There are a few other guys, Marty Gernat. He wasn't playing for the Oil Kings yet. And I think there was another defenseman. The name slips my mind. But none of them really worked out. But I think you throw it out the window. Like, I don't think because he played for that team, there's any relation. I think a good prospect is a good prospect wherever he comes from. And Kosa, man, like, the guy looked like he's huge. Did you get a chance to watch him when you were down at the rink last year?
I did. And, well, it's been a while since we've been down there. But, yeah, just a big goalie. And I'll say this, and just from what I heard, very confident, which is, I have no issues with that, especially if you're a goaltender. So I know they only played 24 games this season. He was outstanding once again. I mean, he's 6'6", Connor. Like, this guy is those are the kind of goalies we're seeing now, right? They're all big boys. So that's an interesting one, Connor. I'm kind of like, because I remember last year we wanted to take the Russian goaltender, Askarov. He missed by a couple of picks as Nashville picked him up. But they got an excellent pick in Dylan Holloway, another young guy that can make some noise here in the next year or two. But just, yeah, because, you know, outside of the top 15, like, then you start getting to names that you have to do a little bit of homework on. And I know guys like Button and McKenzie, like, they know these guys inside and out. We don't as much as we don't track the draft as much. These guys are watching up junior hockey. But, it's going to be interesting. I'm just looking at Button's list in that 20 to 23 range. He's got a couple of defensemen as well. But, Sebastian Kosa is an interesting one, Connor.
Yeah, and I mean,
can he be the guy of the future?
Exactly. And I think, you know, you make that pick if you're someone who follows the Oilers closely on social media. Maybe you don't look for a few days because the trolls will come out and they'll bring up the Oilers' history of drafting Oil Kings. But I think that, you know, it would just be a good transition as well, working with Dustin Schwartz with the Oil Kings. That goes into his professional career. A guy who I think represents Canada at the World Juniors this year. And then, you know, you start to see, okay, this guy, it's going to be patient. You got to be patient with it, but you got a good guy in place. Forget about him for the next 3 years and then check back and see how it's going. I know there's probably some people out there that say, you know, Ilya Konovalov is one guy that maybe people believe in could be the guy. But, I mean, I'm a firm believer. Like, draft a goalie every year. Spend a top five round pick on a goalie every year and hope one pans out, because there's clearly not an exact science. They all don't work out. Sometimes you find steals. And, I mean, you look at Dylan Hellebuck and Carey Price, not Corey Perry. Two guys kind of coming from opposite ends of the spectrum, but both Vezina Trophy winners, both guys who are studs, and, you know, you can find them anywhere. So I load up on goalies all the time.
And that's the thing. Everybody's like, you never draft a goalie in the first round. I remember Button, I can't remember what show he said it before last draft, where he's like, no, if you think he's your guy, take him. Who cares if he's in the first, second, third round? And like you said, a lot of these goalies were drafted in the later rounds. They become outstanding. I mean, Carey Price was a first rounder, obviously.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if Sebastian Kosa is there and he's ranked in that area, and hell, Connor, he might not even make it to the Edmonton Oilers. But, I'm totally okay with taking a goaltender. Like you said, the Oilers have taken Dylan Wells, Olivier Rodrigue, Stuart Skinner. Doesn't look like any of those guys are even close to being ready. I mean, Stuart Skinner was excellent in the AHL, but is he ready to take on the NHL? At least in my opinion, he's not just yet. Ilya Konovalov is a kind of like an unknown to us because we don't watch the KHL, Connor. We can look at his numbers all we want, but it's at the end of the day, until we see him play and against NHLers, we won't really know. But I'm definitely on board, and that's going to be interesting to track. And I love that there's two Oil Kings that are slated to go in the first round. I think it's awesome, and it's always great to see.
Yeah, I mean, I just look back to Andrei Vasilevskiy with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, the guy's a stud. He's 26 years old. He's really only been in the NHL as a full-time goalie for 4 years. Like, they drafted him. They let him develop properly, spent some time in the KHL. And when he got to Tampa, he was ready, and now he's a Stanley Cup winner.
Who's complaining about Vasilevskiy right now, Connor?
The people that have a grudge and hate it. But he was a guy who was taken with the first round. Steve Yzerman and his staff knew what they were doing. They knew what they saw. And you got to be patient. I mean, you might not like it, but the goalies just tend to take a while to develop, and he's looking pretty good right now. Hernan, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a fun chat, man. Good to be talking Oilers after a few weeks off. from talking Oilers.
So. Oh, I'm sure it's going to continue throughout the summer. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
Excellent stuff from Hernan Salas of TSN 1260, also the Locked on Oilers podcast. Two guys and a goalie, and you can also give him a follow on Twitter, at Hernan Demand. We covered a lot of topics there about the Edmonton Oilers, and that's what we'll keep on doing throughout the summer here on the Other Connor podcast. Of course, when we get close to the draft and free agency, we'll kind of take a spotlight on those things, but, I mean, right now, we'll just kind of do general looks at the Edmonton Oilers as they approach this offseason, and once again, big thank you to Hernan Salas for hopping on the show today. Right now, as I said earlier on, I want to help you guys win money, and DraftKings is a great way to do so when you sign up. As I said at the beginning of the show, make sure you use promo code THPN to help you out. That's promo code THPN, stands for the Hockey Podcast Network. And another way to help you out is bringing in our next guest, Jeffrey Ulrich of DraftKings Nation. You can also give him a follow on Twitter, at the Fantasy Grind. Jeff, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm glad you could do it again. And I'm not going to lie to you. I got to apologize. I totally forgot last week. Like, it slipped my mind. I don't know. Maybe it was kind of just going through what we went through with the Oilers. Maybe my mind was on other things. But I'm glad we could get you on this week. And I know we always like to talk hockey, but I got to ask you golf, because I've had a few people ask me about this. And when it comes to John Rahm over the weekend, what happens with DraftKings? I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't. And unfortunately, with DraftKings, it just basically means you stop getting points from the point where John Rahm withdrew. So, with golf, it's not something you have to worry about very often. You know, when your player gets injured at the start of a football game and they don't come back, like, it's the same thing. They just stop getting you points. And unfortunately, fortunately, I should say, with golf, the in-play withdrawals, like, they just rarely happen, but, when they do, they're just a little bit, obviously, soul-sucking because, A, they don't happen very often, and B, when they do, it's just such a shock. So never really seen anything like that with a guy with, like, a six-shot lead, obviously. Hopefully it's a one-time event. But, yeah, just one of those things that happens, like, maybe once a year with golf, with guys withdrawing, in tournament, and just hope it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. Buyer beware. I mean, we always know that's a risk going into it.
Here's the main thing, right? There's nothing you can do about it. There's no way you can possibly predict or research an event like that happening, right? So it's terrible. It's the bad side of variance, but you just kind of move on and take your lumps, so to speak.
Yeah, and it doesn't make it any easier, but if you had him, I commend you. Like, you deserve a lot of credit for going out there, picking him, knowing what he was going to do, because he was playing some great golf, and it just unfortunately didn't work out. Let's talk about those, those Edmonton Oilers. We're not going to talk about the Edmonton Oilers because, of course, they're not in the playoffs anymore. But on the plus side, you can still win money with DraftKings, and there's still lots of hockey to be played. So we'll maybe stay away from the Jets and the Canadiens because, there's a good chance that the Winnipeg Jets could be done after Monday night. We're taping this before the game was actually played. But who are some other guys you're liking right now, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Canadiens, I mean, Artturi Laikkanen, obviously liking just his spot on the top line there, with Brendan Gallagher. I'd watch for that, as the Canadiens are most likely going to move on to the next series. Just a cheap source of value there on DraftKings. But, in terms of the other series and guys you got going on, I mean, obviously, you've got to like what Tampa Bay's doing, just with Nikita Kucherov, continuing to just, like, up his performance when the Lightning need him to. I mean, drop a game to Carolina and then come right back and come through with just, probably his best performance of the series, six shots on goal, two goals. I mean, I don't know how long this guy was ready to go. Maybe it was he probably could have come back like a month earlier than he did, but it certainly seems like he is more than 100% healthy right now. So he's just a player I would just continue to pay up for on DraftKings, playing a ton of minutes, special teams. It may seem obvious, but again, on these slates, sometimes we can outthink ourselves. So I'd start there. Just in terms of other teams and, like, players with good value, I mean, you got to love what the New York Islanders are doing right now. And literally, as I say that, they score another goal here to go up 4-2 on Monday. But they're just rolling out three scoring lines right now. And this is part of the reason why I'm really liking them. Matthew Barzal's picked up his play, but Kyle Palmieri now has goals, I believe, in three straight games. It's really giving them just an insanely balanced attack, which we just never see from them. So I don't know if they're going to get by Boston. We're definitely going to see at least a game six, potentially game seven. But this Islanders offense, like, it's a really good source of value for DraftKings as well, because none of these guys are that expensive. So,
and it's funny. I mean, now 4-2, the Islanders lead. Jordan Eberle just scoring an ice goal over Tuukka Rask. Loveside looked like they're a fun team to watch as well. Now, how about guys you might want to watch out for going forward? Maybe just a little too expensive, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not a whole ton of guys like you can sit here and fade, like, and say, oh, well, I'm not playing this guy ever, or because we're obviously down to eight teams and we're getting like two game slates. So you really kind of need to get exposure. And that's one thing I'd say about, you know, two game slates, like, don't be afraid to pay up for a couple studs, you know, regardless of what they've, you know, if they haven't scored in a couple games. You have to look at the slate as a whole. You know, if you've got like two games that are going to be low scoring, I mean, those shots on goals that guys like a Max Pacioretty is going to get you, or like a David Pastrnak, I mean, those are just as valuable, right? So, you know, I don't have any like straight fade candidates, but I would say, I mean, make sure you're stacking the lines that are really getting A, the ice time, and B, getting you like a lot of scoring opportunities and shots on goal. So, you know, the Boston line, it's been pretty productive, even though they're again, like, on the verge here of potentially losing a couple games in a row. But I really don't mind paying up for a couple of them on these shorter two-game slates. You know, I mentioned Kucherov. I would say, like, you know, Steven Stamkos isn't a guy that I necessarily feel like I have to. I mean, he's certainly got multi-goal upside every night, but if you look at his just production, I mean, he's only averaging 2.2 shots on goal per game. You know, a lot of those players on the Islanders I mentioned, I mean, they're actually producing, having a lot better floors than a guy like Stamkos. So even at around the 6K price, I kind of look at Stamkos, you know, you can take a shot with him in big GPPs on night to night, but you don't really need to play him every night either, because he's really not producing to the level of some of the other elite names.
Now, Carey Price for the Montreal Canadiens, right now I'm just kind of assuming that they'll find a way to win one game in the next four here, up 3-0 against the Winnipeg Jets. But obviously in game two, he has a shutout. Game three, he only lets in one goal. He comes to mind to me when it comes to goaltenders to be looking at. Is there anyone else you like?
Yeah, I mean, Carey Price, you know, obviously it's going to be a much bigger task in the next series, so keep that in mind. But at the same time, I do expect him to at least, like, grab a game or two for the Canadiens just out of pure willpower. So could be a good, you know, GPP candidate in the next series, especially if he's cheap. I want to make a case here that Carolina might be able to make a comeback, but I just don't know where Peter Mrazek is at after, you know, allowing a bunch of goals in Game 5. I think the goalies kind of to keep an eye on is more just seeing what Marc-Andre Fleury does here for the Vegas Golden Knights, because they grabbed a couple games at home, but, you know, going on the road is kind of where, you know, Fleury has struggled, not just in the playoffs, but over his career as well. He's just been a better home ice splits goalie for a lot of his career. If he can come out of that series, you know, or you know, somehow drag them into the finals past a really elite Colorado team, I mean, that's just a player that you're probably going to want to ride like the rest of the way. I mean, it's going to take a monumental effort, but, you know, if you get him into the conference finals versus Price, I mean, like I said, Price might steal a game or two, but I really would like Fleury in that matchup. So I'm looking at Marc-Andre Fleury to potentially be like the good GPP candidate here coming up in the next couple games for Vegas. There's no guarantee. There's obviously going to be a lot of sort of, you know, variance riding with him. But, you know, if you're looking for sort of a contrarian candidate, I think most people will probably be a little bit slow or just trepidatious of rostering him on the road at Colorado. So there's something to think about. The goalies I really like of late are the Islanders goalies. And, I mean, obviously they're playing right now, but the Islanders are allowing a lot of shots on net within the playoffs, which is uncharacteristic of them, but it's allowing for a lot of big DraftKings games. So Barlamov sort of taking the reins. But whoever starts for the Islanders right now seems to have big upside every night.
Now, Jeff, I know you won't pump your own tires, but I will. Today you obviously released your daily your cheat sheet for the fantasy hockey, and just scrolling through it here, superstar to target, Matthew Barzal. He's got a goal and an assist. In that paragraph, you also include Jordan Eberle. He's got a goal and an assist. So, people, go over to DraftKings Nation, follow what you read, and collect the money. That kind of just speaks for itself right now. Jeff, I'm just going to throw some names at you, because you know, working in sports radio in Edmonton, we often get people talking about who the Oilers should look to add. And obviously, you cover daily fantasy sports, so, you know, your knowledge on players is pretty good. I want to throw a couple guys at you, and you just tell me if you think they'd be a good fit for the Oilers, and even maybe on that left wing with Connor McDavid. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, go for it.
So the first one from Boston, a guy who might be on the outside looking in, Jake DeBrusk.
I would say no from what I've seen from Jake DeBrusk so far. He seems kind of like a worse version of Puljujärvi, whereas, you know, a little bit one-sided just in terms of what he brings, or one-dimensional, I guess, is maybe the word better word. And I feel like Puljujärvi at this point just offers better upside. So I don't really see DeBrusk as being the answer. There might be people out there with better answers than me, but personally, it's just more of the same. So I'll give a big no there.
How about Thomas Tatar, hypothetically, on a one-year deal?
I'd like that more. I kind of like Tatar since, you know, his Detroit Red Wings days. He has really kind of hit the skids this year in Montreal. But, you know, the whole Montreal team has kind of, like, they had a bad offensive year. So, you know, if you're going to point the finger at him, you kind of got to point the finger at the whole team. I think he'd be a good second-line presence, potentially. Absolutely, like a guy who has had some top six before. I'd like that a lot more than DeBrusk, for sure.
And you mentioned the time with Detroit. Ken Holland was there with them, so some people piecing that together as well.
Probably more likely just from because of that, too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And one more name for you, just because it was brought up on our show today on TSN 1260, Jaden Schwartz.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never been, like, a massive Jaden Schwartz fan, but I think, again, like, you look at the type of player. I mean, he's a pretty opportunistic goal scorer. He can be a little bit, you know, just sort of not do much for a bit. But again, you know, a player who's produced can be pretty versatile for the Oilers too. I would not mind that at all. Definitely of the three, that's the one I prefer. And I think offers the Oilers like the most potential return as well. So yeah, I think Schwartz is a player who, you know, he had a lot of upside coming out of just when he was drafted as well. And it kind of feels like he's a player who really, in my opinion, would benefit the most from a change in scenery right now, because it just feels like he's kind of gotten lost in St. Louis, maybe in their system. I think he's got more to offer than what he's shown the last couple of years. I like that move, actually, if we're being honest. And I think if you're looking at, like, realistic moves, like in terms of bargain and what the Oilers could afford, that might be, like, the best they could do, just in terms of, again, without having to, like, break the bank or something. So I would be in on Jaden Schwartz personally. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that one as well. And, I mean, you know, he's proven he can win. He's got a Stanley Cup on the resume.
Exactly. And what, I mean, that's a really good point. Like, the Oilers don't have much of that. You kind of saw that, have seen that the last few years in the playoffs. Never hurts to add a guy who's got some playoff experience to a team who cannot get wins in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, you are telling me, and any guy that can play. I mean, with all due respect to Alex Chiasson, there's limitations there. But Jaden Schwartz, that'd be an interesting one. Jeff, thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
There you go. That is Jeffrey Ulrich of DraftKings Nation. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter as well, at the Fantasy Grind. And if you are signing up for DraftKings, promo code THPN. That's the Hockey Podcast Network, THPN. And that is going to do it for another edition of the Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. Big thank you to everyone who tuned in today. Also, shout out to Hernan Salas and Jeffrey Ulrich. Really appreciate them hopping on the podcast. Give Hernan a follow on Twitter at HernanDeMan, Jeffrey at The Fantasy Grind, and make sure you check out his work at DraftKings Nation, but only if you want to win money. I mean, if you don't really care about money, then maybe just continue on. But I recommend it, DraftKings Nation. Promo code THPN as well when you sign up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Other Connor Podcast. We're back on Friday. We'll talk more about the Oilers offseason and what they need to do to step their game up. So next year at this time, they're still playing hockey games. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Connor Halley. We'll talk to you next time on the Other Connor Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Other Connor Podcast. New shows drop every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts from.